Howdy.
Howdy.
It's so fun being back. Alrighty, let me read a verse to you, a few verses. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now remember, the promised land in the Old Testament was real, but it was also a prophetic type of life in Christ and living life in Christ, living the life of Christ. And so when we talk about that, we always think of that in terms of this speaks about abiding in Christ, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Beginning in verse 3 of chapter 30. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you. Now this is also prophetic, all about what God did through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Restored us from captivity. The Lord your God will restore you from captivity, have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If you're outcast or at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he shall prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. And the Lord your God will inflict on all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. This is the verse. I want to talk to you a little bit about something we talked about yesterday, not necessarily the Trinity, but just the work of Christ. When he says in verse 3, the Lord your God will restore you from captivity, have compassion on you, gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. And if you're outcast or at the end of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. Now the word there, gather you, is just the word gather you up. And so he even says, no matter how far you've gone, so prophetically, no matter how bad you've gotten, no matter how far you've gone away from home, no matter how much stuff a person's done, the Lord your God, he said, will gather us. He will rescue us. Nobody's beyond the cross. Nobody's too far, gone too far, done stuff too bad. And then he says that he will give us new hearts. And that's an Old Testament prophecy about the New Testament, about the New Covenant. We get a new heart because as Christians, we now have the nature of Jesus. You have the heart of Jesus. So having read that verse this morning in prayer, I was just reminded again about yesterday, because maybe one of the most important, maybe the most important verse in all the New Testament is Ephesians 1:10, which I read yesterday. Let me just start in like verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in Jesus. So the mystery of God's will is accomplished in the person of Jesus, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. That word summing up is also the word can be translated to gather up. So the idea is gathering something up and also it being summed up in Christ. And so he talked about gathering up the Israelites. Even if you've gone to the farther ends of the earth, I will gather you up and I will bring you into the promised land and I'll give you a new heart. I'm going to circumcise your heart and give you a new heart that wants to obey God, that wants to please him. Because of the fall of man as a result of Adam's sin, because we were all in Adam, and therefore we inherited his nature and the consequences of his sin. Now, we all sinned on our own, but we were under condemnation because we were all in Adam. So what God's solution was, as we mentioned yesterday, and this is so remarkable to me, it's why the incarnation, we've been saying this for the last few years, it's the most astounding event in human history. Resurrection is pretty amazing, but the incarnation is the most amazing. In Adam, the first man, we fell. And so for God to rescue us, one of the Godhead had to become a human. And so Jesus became the Son of Man, not just the Son of God. And he came and gathered us up as if when he took on humanity, it was like a vacuum. He clothed himself in broken humanity, our broken humanity. He gathered up all of humanity into his humanity. At the cross, our fallen and broken humanity was crucified and buried. And we were raised up in union with his resurrected humanity and ascended in his resurrected, in his ascended humanity. And so Jesus came and scooped up all humanity in himself so that everything about you and me can be summed up in the person of Jesus. So this is what I said yesterday, and this is so important, that Jesus is the truth about you. Jesus, you have his nature. You are in union with him. And the ramifications of that is beyond imagination. If I could sum you up by saying the word Jesus, that's the sum total of who you are. That would be my explanation if I said, well, let me sum up who Bill Jones is. Jesus. I didn't say he was Jesus. I said he's summed up in Jesus. Jesus is now his life. Jesus is now the promised land. As Jesus as your life is the promised land, your life hidden with him. And so everything that Jesus is capable of doing, Bill Jones is capable of doing, Chuck Jones is capable of doing, if I'm summed up in him, his capacity, his adequacy, his virtue, his holiness, his goodness, his kindness, his patience, his love, his joy, his peace, his faithfulness, his self-control, his purity is mine. Those all identify me because I'm now, since he gathered me up, this was God's astounding solution that protects us forever. We were in Adam and fell. God didn't just send another man. God became man. And we're gathered up in the God-man so that we're summed up in him. And everything that's true about him is true about you. You're standing with the Father's. His standing with the Father's, you're standing with the Father. His anointing with the Holy Spirit, you're anointing with the Holy Spirit. Your fellowship with the Trinity, it's your fellowship. His fellowship is your fellowship. But his capacity to do your life, to not sin, to exhibit righteousness, is yours. It sums up who you are. That's why it says in that Colossians passage, let me just read it to you because it's so good. We're almost there anyway in Ephesians. Listen to the statement that he makes. It's stunning. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you are living in the world, do you submit yourself to such decrees as do not handle, do not taste, and do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. But since then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Why? That's where Christ is. But that's also where you are. And you'll find you when you find him. What you discover about him is what you discover about you. That sounds heretical, but it's not. Let me say it again. It doesn't mean you're Jesus. It just means that he shares everything that he is and everything that he has with you. As he is in this present world, 1 John 4:17, so are you. Therefore, God's expectations and demands in our life never seem unreasonable to him because he believes about you what he believes about Jesus because Jesus is your life. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above. That makes sense where Christ is, since you've been raised up there with him. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. You can't evaluate who you are by just looking at who you are in the flesh or what you've done or how much you've messed it up. You can't conclude the truth about you that way. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ. If you want to find you, it's hidden in Christ. For your life is hidden in Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to you and through you, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, because Jesus gathered you up into himself so that he can say, we can say, you can be summed up in Jesus. That's the most important scripture, probably, I guess, in all the Bible, more so than John 3:16, because that describes what everlasting life is, you being summed up in Jesus. I love that so much because I can get free to no longer have excuses. Because excuses are a means of bondage, sustained. I was reading in the, I think John 11, where Jesus asked the blind man, what can I do for you? And he said, well, I'd like to be able to see. And so Jesus has healed him. We're capable of stewarding that because we're summed up in Christ, because he gathered us up in him. That's such an amazing picture, that God's solution is that one of them had to become a human so they could gather us up in him and become a new creation like nothing the world's ever seen before. Amazing. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.